We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Wave Young Adults, we have an absolute honor tonight. We get to hear from our senior leader. The only reason we are able to have services is because he believes in this generation and believes that we are not the leaders of the future, but we are the leaders of today. And I am so thankful for senior leaders and a senior pastor who is led by example in this season and every season with faith, integrity, and it is my absolute honor. Can we stand to our feet as I introduce Pastor Steve Kelly?
Hey, how you doing? Oh, I gotta tell you, I am glad to be here with you tonight. I have a word for you. Ready for a word? Anybody want a word? And here's a good word to start the word. Proverbs 18, verse 1. He or she who isolates himself seeks their own desire and rages against all wisdom. So can I just put it mildly that when we make a decision to isolate ourselves, now I'm not talking about quarantine and isolation in the sense of what we're dealing with today, but we got to be careful we don't confuse what's what. When we choose to isolate ourselves, withdraw ourselves from other people, and it says we have our own agenda. It says they seek their own desire. And then it goes, and you rage against all wisdom. So in other words, you got your own deal going on and you're an idiot. There's no nice way of saying that someone who rages against all wisdom is wise. You are the opposite of wise. And I'm just mindful in this season to remind us that whilst we need to be careful with everything we need to be careful in, let's not use this season as an excuse or an opportunity to go about our own thing. And the Bible says you isolate yourself. It's something you do yourself. It's not what other people do to you. Right. It's what you do. You can still be connected online. You can still be connected, you know what I'm saying, through text. But you can, within that, you'll be careful we understand the difference. Right. Make sense? So let's not do that. I've heard some people, and they're just going to go, well, I'm just not going to come back to church until there's a vaccine, okay? But I say, my attitude to that is let's pray for healing. Let's do that. And I understand there are some people who absolutely should not be in person in church. I'd be the first to say that. I don't want anybody who's elderly or vulnerable to ever feel the pressure to come to church. That's why we have online. Amen? To all of our online people, I promise you, I'm speaking to you that you're leaning in is a sign that you are not isolating yourself. I applaud you. Can anybody say amen to all of our line audience? It's actually something that actually reveals your heart. So I just want to pray tonight because I actually got this psalm I want to read to you tonight. I'm going to talk to you about it for a couple of minutes. Then I want to pray and prophesy over a few of you. Sound good? You ready for it? You're ready for it? All right, here we go. I'm going to read to you the psalm and then we're going to get going. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. How many want to be blessed? Do you know what the word blessed means? It means happy, fortunate, and to be envied. That means there will be something about my life and your life that is happy, joyful, fortunate. In other words, it looks like no matter what bad thing happens, good things come out as a result of it. How many want to be blessed? Happy, amen, not lonely, not isolated, okay? Happy, fortunate, you land on your feet and to be envied. There will be something about our lives that other people look at and want what we have. Blessed, how many want to be blessed? Is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, nor stand in the way that the sinners take, nor sit in the company of mockers. Watch it. 1 minute, you're standing. Yeah. Next minute, yep. Listen to it. Sorry, 1 minute, you're walking.
Yeah, good.
Next minute, you're standing.
Yep. Yep.
Then the next moment, you're sitting.
Yeah.
And all of it is in a negative context. Listen to it again. Blessed is the one who walks not in step with the wicked, stands in the way that sinners take, or sit in the seat of a mocker, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night, that person, what person? That person. In other words, here's what I hear. A lot of people say Christianity is a bunch of do's and don'ts. And let me tell you something. There are some things in the Word of God says that we shouldn't do. And there are some things in the Word of God that will say that's are what we should do. So if you want to call it do's and a don'ts, I'm not into, you know, religion being a buzz killer, but I do believe God gives us wisdom about some things in our lives that we ought to do and some things in our lives that we ought not to do. Not because we live by rules, but because we live by wisdom. And we live by the Word of God that gives us instruction. So listen to what it says. His delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night, like you would social media. Okay, that person, what person? That person who's not doing that, but loves the Word of God, reads it day and night, shall be like a tree planted by streams. Not a little, just a little bit of water, a miserly little cup of water. Streams, not just a river, but rivers. Streams, watch this, of water which yields fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. How many want that psalm working in your life? All right, Father, as we take a hold of this psalm, help me now to just download some principles of wisdom to share with this amazing Wave Church young adult community. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I want to give you some things that I believe. And can I just say, some of these for some of you might be a little hard, but actually are biblical. And I don't think they're that hard, but they're wisdom in Scripture. In this community, I remember when I was a youth pastor, which is many years ago, back in the 80s, early 80s, I remember talking to young adults and challenging them as to their life and their choices and their morality and just the decisions that they would make. And I remember I got pushback. And they said, do you know what century we live in? Do you know what era we're in? And I got to tell you, nothing's changed. Here we are, 2020. And I want to say this, first of all, to our young adult community at Wave Church. Number one, don't compromise culture for convictions. Don't even confuse culture for convictions. Because let me tell you, I believe we need to get our convictions from the Word of God and not from culture. Culture would love to give us a totally different set of guidelines to live a life by than the Word of God will. And I've seen Christians be strongly opposed to other Christians, and they think all they're doing is having a personality conflict with an individual, and they're trying to win an argument with somebody, when the truth of it is, if it's in the Word of God, it ought to be a conviction. And we ought not to live to the culture of the world, but to the culture of the kingdom of heaven. Let me give an example. If the Bible calls something sin, then sin is sin no matter what it is. You with me here? And I know culture wants to rename sin and give it new names that make it okay. But I want to encourage us at Wave Church to be people who live by convictions and not by preferences. I want to make sure that we don't have secondhand revelations, that we have a hand-me-down theology of what we will do with their lives, and it's based upon, you know, preference, or it's based upon pragmatism. Well, if I can do it and get away with it, no one knows, then it'll be okay. Rather than have a conviction, this is in the Word of God, and I will stay away from that area that the Bible calls sin, sin, so as not to fall into it. Can anybody say amen? And so here's what it looks like. People say to me all the time, Steve, what is the world coming to? America has never been so bad and so dark. And we've never seen so many problems and confusion and chaos, like the breakdown of a family unit, the confusion of gender identity. Are you hearing me now? The permission of culture that actually pushes hard against God and God's word. And we've moved a long way. And I go, but friends, you don't understand. That's been the problem since Adam and Eve. This is not new. This has been the same world because this is what Adam and Eve did. Eve was confused, was deceived by the devil in the garden to eat of the fruit that God told her not to eat of. And the devil said, hey, did God say you shouldn't eat of it? He knew that if you ate of it, you would know good from evil. And when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, this is what they said. Screw you, God. You don't tell me what's right or wrong. I'll decide for myself. Now, when we make a decision to decide for ourselves what is good and evil, don't be confused when life gets jacked up and things happen and things don't go well, because that's the consequence of making your own decisions and disregarding anything that the Word of God says as to wisdom, as to how to live our lives. Come on, somebody say amen. So here's my question. Let me just say, when it comes to culture, there are some things that Scripture agrees with. Right now in today's world, I got to tell you, racism is a sin. And I will always be the first to stand up and say that. We've even had people, when I've said, I understand how our African-American community feels, when their statement is made, Black Lives Matter. And I will say it again, Black Lives Matter. I do not agree with the organization Black Lives Matter. They have some very strong ideas about redefining the nuclear family and about abortion and about other things that I would never agree with. But I will say to my African American brother or sister, your life matters to me, and I understand your pain and your disappointment, and your hope deferred makes your heart sick. And I'm sorry that we are still facing challenges in 2020 that should be done with by now. There is no neutrality in this one. Can anybody say amen? Amen. So, here's the next thought I want to give you. Do you love the Word of God and do you study it? Because I got to tell you, culture is teaching us every day. But how much are you pushing back on culture? The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How much are you pushing back on culture trying to give you your convictions? And the only way which I believe we can push back is actually getting grounded in the Word of God. See, I talked about secondhand convictions. There's one big problem with the secondhand conviction. When you live by secondhand convictions, what other people tell you to live and how other people tell you to live, then when you're around those people, you'll live like that. But when you're not around those people, you'll live to whatever the pressure of the world is in that moment. So you've got to get your own convictions, not have a hand-me-down theology and not have a secondhand revelation of Jesus. It's got to be real for you, and you choose not to do it, not because of what other people say or think, because you are somebody who is pushing back on culture when the Word of God disagrees with culture. Amen? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Don't buy the lie that there are many ways to heaven. Don't buy it. There are not many ways to heaven. Jesus said, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other religion in the world that is right. You say, that's pretty narrow-minded. Yeah, we can afford to be. God knows what he's talking about. Amen. That does not mean we're against them and you know what I'm saying? We got to win people because we're living blessed lives, and we are living lives that are happy, fortunate, and to be envied. And when other people see the choice of our decisions and our life, they want what we have. Sadly, too many Christians have turned too many people off. And I've seen some of the worst testimonies. People get up and say, man, before I was a Christian, I was the life of the party and I was doing this and that. And then I got saved. And I used to think, I actually think the guy I heard before was cooler than the guy now. If you were all that before you're Christian, how much more should you be a person of influence now that Christ is in you? Amen? And so let me just say, don't buy the lie. There are many ways to heaven. Okay? We've got to do everything we can to win people to Jesus. God has no plan B. It's the church. It's you and it's me. And that's why we talk about Wave Legacy. We give because we're thinking about more than ourselves. The only way in which Hampton Roads have a hope of getting to heaven is if Christians live out their Christian life well and wear God well, and the church is the hope of the world. Amen. Don't underestimate the importance of church. I don't need church. Church isn't a building. Oh, I got to tell you, nothing can be further from the truth. Church isn't a building. That is true. But a half-truth is a whole lie. Yeah. And people can lie to you with the truth. Yeah. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Yeah. See, think about this. The church is more than a building. But the church, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 9, it says, neglect not the gathering together of the saints. And by the way, everybody online, you are living well that Bible verse by watching online. It is delinquent, it is negligent to not see the importance of church and fellowship and relationship. Don't buy the lie and underestimate the importance of church. Do go to church and serve with your talents. Give to God what He's given to you. When I first became a Christian, do you know the only talent I had? Honestly, I used to be a printer. And so I found out the church had a printing machine. I was of no value to the church, I promise you. No one was asking me to speak. There'd be way too many colorful words coming out of my mouth. I didn't know Genesis from Revelation. The youth leader used to say to me, Steve, have you been reading your Bible? And I would lie like a dog. I go, yeah, I have. I've been reading it. I hadn't been reading it, but they used to always ask me, are you reading it? I was too embarrassed to tell them no, because I wouldn't even know where to read it or how to read it. And the only Bible I had was the family Bible that was like this big and weighed 500 pounds. And so I used to say, yeah, I've been reading that. Well, what you read? I don't know any Bible stories. I didn't really grow up in church life. I went to a Catholic church, which to me was just bells and smells. And that's all I knew of church. And I remember there's some story somewhere about, you know, something that I'm thinking about. It was a flood in the Old Testament. And they said, well, what did you read about? I said, I read about the flood. They said, what did you read that in? And I went, oh, Matthew. That's New Testament. They knew straight away, I'm lying. Can I just encourage everybody here? Catch this now. I want you to think about the importance of this statement. Do go to church and give your talents. And so to me, the only talent I could give, I used to always say, who prints the church bulletin? And they said, oh, some guy who volunteers and the printing machine's not all that good. Well, I was a printer. I was an apprentice printer. So I said, I would like to offer my services. And the truth is, if I didn't do that, I would never have actually changed the company of the people I used to hang with. And I knew if I wasn't up there in the church on those nights, I'd be out drinking and taking drugs and doing bad things. So I had to, for a season, absolutely remove myself from that lifestyle, from that company. And I made a decision. The only thing I can be, and everyone used to say, man, who's printing the church bulletin nowadays? You can actually read it. And it's got colors, because I actually used to work on a four-color printing machine. And this thing was just like an old photocopy Gestetner. And then the church went out and brought new printing machinery. Well, now that really put pressure on me to keep on. And then one day, I got promoted to be the overhead transparency director. I've arrived. Little did I know, those times of just giving God my talents. Little did I know how it would teach me to love God's house, to teach me how to serve. By the way, it humbled me because I thought I was all that in a bag of chips. I thought I was this cool guy. I thought I was the evangelist of the world. And I found the only thing the church really had used for me was just printing and flipping transparencies. But I learned something. I used to work in the sound desk. They never let me be a singer. Never made it. One of these days, someone's going to discover my gift. I'm telling you, forget America's Got Talent. Steve's got talent. One of these days, don't make life all about you. You know, this idea that my boss owes me, this idea that when it comes to money, I know I upset some people this morning when I talked about it, so let me upset some people more. Jesus tells the parable of the kingdom of heaven, and he tells the parable about a man who had means and wealth and property and a farm. He went out and he found Josh and he said, Josh, if you'll work for me for 12 hours, I will pay you $100. And Josh went, $100, 12 hours? I'm in. And then he found Jared and he said, Jared, listen, if you'll work for me, because Josh agreed at the start of the morning, but then he found Jared and Jared was looking unemployed. And so he said, listen, there's only 10 hours left in the day. Will you work for me and I'll pay you a fair day's wages? And Jared goes, I'm in. Well, then he comes over and he starts looking for some more people and he finds Josh. And Josh, it's now lunchtime. He's been working from 6 a.m. And he finds Josh, it's now 6 hours later, says, if you work for me, I'll pay you a fair day's wages. And then he finds Bobby and he says, Bobby, listen, there's only 2 hours left of daylight left, but I don't have the harvest in and I need more workers. So if you'll work for me, I'll pay you a fair day's wages. This is the Bible talking. This is a good attitude to have. Watch this. When Bobby gets paid first, Josh looks to see what Bobby gets. And to Josh's shock and horror and amazement, Bobby got $100 for working 2 hours. So Josh thinks to himself, automatically, if he's paying that guy $200 to $100 to work 2 hours, and I've been here all day, and I agreed to work 12 hours for $100, what will he pay me? This is called income inequality. Oh, it's quiet now. And then when the farmer comes and says, here's $100, this guy gets upset and says, wait a minute, you paid him $100 and he's Johnny come lately that worked 2 hours. I've sweated all day. And the farmer says, but you agreed to work for that. Now, I know there's a parallel message to hear about reaching lost people. But there's another talent. Another talent that's in the Bible. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you 5 talents and you 2 talents and I'm going to give you 1 talent. Watch this. According to their ability. Not everybody's got the same ability. I'm talking to a young adult community and we got to get our head screwed on, guys. We cannot be victims in this world. Nobody owes you anything. You've got to make your way to success. Can anybody say amen? And so the guy with five talents goes, hey, look what you've done. The 5 talents you gave me, I've doubled it. This guy with 2 talents, look what you've done. I doubled. The guy with 1 talent, he says, I know you're a tough man, so I just hid that talent. And by the way, it's talking about money. It is actually literally talking about finances. And when he did nothing with it and buried it, that he said, I know you're a tough man. I know you're not fair. I know you reap where you don't sow. And so I buried this talent. Here it is, the talent you gave me. And Jesus called that man wicked. The other people who produced, he called faithful. Well done, you faithful servant. Faithful is actually reproducing. Wicked is just hanging on to what you do have and doing nothing with it. All right, I'll keep going because I can tell you're very excited about this. I just want to make sure we think right. Don't be thinking that God owes you, that your boss owes you. Are you hearing me? And if you're in a job that, you know, it just sucks, be so good at it that God promotes you out of it. Amen? I say this and I say this with pride in a godly way. I have never been unemployed a day in my life. And I remember I had a job where the employer employed three different people, and he told us, all of you are going to have to fight. Whoever works the hardest will get the one job. There is only one job. Now, by the way, that is illegal in Australia to do that. You with me here? And I looked at the guy and I said, man, you're breaking the law. You can't do that. And he looked at me and says, you won't last long. I said, you want to see how long I last? See ya. And I walked out on him. He literally hired everybody. It was an upholstery shop. This is before I got the apprenticeship as the printer. And he literally employed people who were deaf and mute so they wouldn't talk during work hours. This guy was as mean and as awful and as corrupt as you can imagine. I won't give myself to him. And you know what I did? I went down into the city of Sydney and I walked into all these different places. I said, I've never been unemployed a day in my life, and today I resigned from a job. And today will be the first day of my life that I will be unemployed unless I work. Would you please give me a job? And I spent 5 hours going from place to place trying to get a job. And then finally I ended up in a restaurant and I spoke to the manager and I said, sir, I need a job. I've never been unemployed a day in my life, and today will be the first day if I don't get a job. Would you give me a job? And the manager said, I don't have any positions. I said, I'll wash dishes. He goes, well, I can't pay you. I said, I'll work for free. I do not want today to be the first day of me being unemployed. He says, you've got a job with that attitude. 2 weeks later, I was offered a training program to be the assistant manager. And this guy said to me, with the attitude you've got, you'll be a manager and you will own your own restaurant one day. Can I tell you, friends, come on, let's not like think with it. You know, we're just waiting for some fat cat to come along and just buy us a house and take care and buy us a car and pay off our college fees. God can bless you. If you are faithful in God's house and you're faithful to the word of God, then whatever you do shall prosper. Your leaf shall not wither. Let's not live our lives dependent on what other people do for us. The moment you think your success is determined by what other people will do for you, you've already lost the game. It's what you are willing to do for yourself and go for God and trust God with all your hearts. I told you to be strong, didn't I? Don't make life all about you and your happiness. Make life about others. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Don't be unequally yoked. Can we go there for a minute? Amen. What does that mean? Don't settle for less. God has someone for you. If God, the Bible says, searched the whole world looking for a helper suitable to Adam's need, and when he found nobody, and I've met some young adults who tell me, there's nobody in our church, I can't find anyone. I go, oh, really? I've heard this before. Take a look around. There's plenty of, well, and you get vulnerable, and you settle for less. Well, maybe if I find someone who's not a Christian, and by the way, there are flags even for people who are Christians. Because don't be unequally yoked doesn't mean just be with someone who's not a Christian. It also means make sure you got the same vision and the same values. Make sure they love God more than you love God. Make sure they're not just in church because you're in church. Amen. I said it this morning so powerfully when I said the reason why God wants us to wait and he teaches us is waiting reveals real motives. And people who don't have real motives don't stay around long. I saw this girl, suddenly, her brother was a full-on Christian in the church, and she used to hang out occasionally. And she actually took a real shine to my very best friend who gave his life to Jesus. His name was John Martin. And John Martin was a hopeless, chronic alcoholic at a young teenage. I'm the one that led him to alcohol. I'm the one that got him drinking and doing drugs. I'm the one that said, John, come on, man. John goes, Steve, I'll never do that stuff. My parents are alcoholics. I said, so am I. Come on, let's go. And I led him down a path. To this day, I regret it. And then this girl, who her brother was a full-on Christian, saw my friend, took a real shine to John. And all of a sudden, she was Mother Teresa. All of a sudden, she's in church and she's in the same Bible study as John. And she's sitting next to John every Sunday in church. And John has never really had a girl pay any attention to him whatsoever because of his lifestyle before he was a Christian. No girl ever wanted to get to know him because this guy was jacked up. And you know, I used to say to my friend, John, I said, John, I'm not too sure about this girl. I'm not sure her motives are real. I think she more wants you than she loves God. And my friend said, Steve, any girl that likes me is a good girl. I said, John, please, there's flags here. Why don't you actually not date her for a while and see if she'll still come to church? There are flags here. She ends up marrying him, has children, and then tells him, I never loved you, and left him and went back to her way of living before. John couldn't handle that kind of rejection. He went back to drinking alcohol, and he died of alcoholic poisoning. Sharon and I remember the story of a beautiful young girl whose name was Cindy. To this day, one of my greatest regrets as a pastor, I gave someone wrong advice. And she was a brand new Christian, and she said, Steve, I've been a Christian, and let me tell you, this girl, honestly, she was like a model, wasn't she, honey? She was a very attractive young lady, and, you know, guys were just, and I used to have to tell the Christian guys, stay away from her. She's a brand new Christian. Just let her love Jesus. And then Cindy came to Sharon and I one day and told us the story how she bought tickets on a cruise before she was a Christian, and it was like a year before. And now the cruise has come up, and she goes, Steve, what do I do? And there was no refund policy on the cruise. And she goes, if I don't go, I don't get the money for it. And, you know, these are all very, very unsafe people I'll be going with. And I remember thinking, I don't want this poor girl to miss out on the cruise and, you know, the money she did. And I said, well, Cindy, just make sure that, you know, make sure, ask yourself who's affecting who. If they're affecting you, then stay away from them. But if you can influence them for good, she was just a brand new Christian. And then she met the DJ on the cruise and fell in love with him. And she said, and we got talking, and she was no longer in church. And she says, if I have to choose between Jesus and this young man, I choose this young man. And to this day, I wished I just said, Cindy, it isn't worth it. What does it profit a man? He goes on a cruise and forfeits their soul, which is a Bible verse without the cruise terminology. Are you hearing me? Can I just say it to us? Listen to me. Don't be unequally yoked. Make some decisions. Trust God with your love life. All right, it's quiet here. We'll keep going. You may never want to come back to hear me speak at a young adult service, but I'm telling you, make life about others. Don't be unequally yoked. Don't settle for less. Look for the red flags. Don't get vulnerable. Don't get lonely. Amen. And let me just say to you this. Trust God. God searched the whole world, couldn't find a helper suitable to his need. You know what God did? He made a woman just for Adam. And if God did that for Adam, he can find someone on planet Earth for you if you'll trust him with your love life. Can anybody say amen? Amen. You ready for this one? Are you ready for this one? How many just want me to stop now? Okay. Put a limit on how much time you're on social media. I'm not saying get off it altogether, but I'm saying, can I just say this? What if you, for the next 6 weeks, made a decision for every minute you're in social media, you'll also be reading the Bible? What if you did that? What if you actually consciously looked and measured how much time you spend on Facebook and, you know, everything, because you guys aren't even on Facebook, I know. I'm saying because I'm the old guy that is. The truth is, I'm not even on Facebook. I mean, I'm on there apparently. I don't know. I got some profile in there somewhere. But I got out of that real quick because people started writing me, telling me all their problems on public platforms. And I'm like, I don't do pastoral care on social media. Dear God, no way, ain't happening. You hearing me? But what if you just went, okay, the amount of time I spend in whatever area of YouTube you're into, or whatever area of Instagram or TikTok or whatever you watch, you actually then said, I'll equal that in prayer or reading the Bible. Just for 6 weeks. Just a thought. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, and I got to close now. Can I say this to you? When you're on it, could you actually be kind? Like, I was watching, you know, that Next Door Neighborhood app? Yep. You know, these are people who need to get a life, who call each other out all the time. So I was watching today, because I love boating. I was watching today somebody in our area, because I live on the water, calling out a boat and naming the boat's registration number, saying, you went too fast in a no-wake zone, and there was a little wave, and your little wave smashed my boat up against the dock. Now, the truth is, if a small 5-mile-an-hour wind was blowing, it would have created more of a wave than the wake that this boat would have made. Are you hearing me? And she's going, I'm going to report you. I hate you. You're the most inconsiderate person. And I'm just thinking, you know, when little things start to bother you, it's a sign your world is shrinking. And we are living in a world that is going insane right now. So let's practice kindness. Can anybody say amen? Don't be negative, confronting, and correcting. Amen. The Bible says that he who sows discord among the brethren, God hates. That doesn't mean God hates you. It's just God hates it because you're dividing people. And he wants it to stop. Amen. Do speak up for injustice. Do have unsaved friends. And build connection with them. Just make sure you're asking yourself the question, who is influencing who? Can anybody say amen? Praise the Lord. Now, if you got any problems with anything I just said, everything I just said was Bible, so just take it up with God. Amen. And I know the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. I've learned something about truth being known. Truth doesn't always set some people free. Truth makes some people mad. Amen. And it's not truth that ultimately sets people free. Did you know that? It's knowing the truth and applying the truth and living to the principle of that truth, even when you don't even feel like it. For me, when I became a Christian, do you know what I used to love? I used to love to go into the bars and clubs with my friends and drink beer to get drunk. And the very first time in the Bible, I read truth. He who is drunk has no place in the kingdom of heaven. I went, dang, I'm not going to heaven, but I want to. That means I got to stop getting drunk. So I went to my friends. I said, what do I do, man? The Bible says if I get drunk, I'm not going to heaven. You can't argue with that. It's right there in the Word of God. And my friend said, well, Jesus turned the water into wine. I said, that's a good Bible verse. Thank you for that. It's funny how people can find Bible verses to justify their lifestyle. And then I went to another friend of mine. I said, what do I do? And he said, well, Steve, drinking alcohol is like drinking Satan himself into your soul. Well, I don't want to do that. So I managed to go into the bars and clubs after I read those verses, and I could look in the beer and I could see the face of the devil in the froth. So I literally used to put my hand over the beer and drink it anyway. And then I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, what do I do? I got this Bible verse. I got this Bible verse. I've read it. And he said, Steve, why don't you pray in light of the scripture you read and say, God, what do you want me to do? And I got to tell you, for a good 10 years, I never, ever touched a drop of alcohol. I had to break that thing and that addiction and that stronghold off of my life to get free from it. Are you hearing me? And I got no problem with somebody who drinks a glass of wine. None. So long as you're not a stumbling block to someone else. So long as your freedom doesn't cause someone else to fall into sin. Are you hearing me?
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.